A pure devotee of Krishna is always specifically qualified with nectarine qualifications, and sometimes with the qualifications of butter and honey. On the whole, the heart in any of the different conditions mentioned above can be melted under certain circumstances, just as a hard diamond is sometimes melted by a combination of certain chemicals. In Dhanakeli Komudi, it is stated, quote, "When love develops in the heart of a devotee, he cannot check the transformation of his sentiments. His heart is just like the ocean at the rising of the moon, when the ebb tide cannot be checked. Immediately there must be movement of high waves." Unquote. Although in its natural state, the ocean is always grave and unfathomable, when the moon rises, nothing can check the ocean's agitation. Similarly, those who are pure devotees cannot on any account check the movement of their feelings within. And now chapter 32, Symptoms of Continuous Ecstasy. Lokanam hitakaranam tribhuvane manam saranyakaranam nana shastra vicharanikanikanam saddharma. The continuous ecstasy of love can remain like a powerful king, subduing all temporary manifestations of love as well as any opposing elements of anger. It can be exhibited directly or indirectly, and thus ecstatic love can be described as direct or indirect. These symptoms of ecstatic love are possible only when one is fully situated in a transcendental position. Direct ecstatic love can be divided into two groups, namely selfish and selfless. When non-contradictory symptoms of ecstatic love are distinctly manifest, any contradictory symptoms create a sense of abomination. Contradictory ecstatic love is called selfish. That ecstatic love which can adjust all contradictory or non-contradictory symptoms is called direct selfless love. These selfless symptoms can again be divided into five groups: neutrality, servitude, fraternity, parenthood, and conjugal love. Such ecstatic love assumes a particular mode in contact with different objects of love. Neutrality. Neutrality can be further subdivided into general, transparent, and peaceful. An attraction for Krishna by the people in general or by children cannot take any specific or satisfactory position. It can be manifest sometimes in trembling of the body and changing of the color of the eyes to red, white, etc., although there is no symptom of any particular affection. One old man was told by a young man, quote, "Just see how this child, only 3 years old, is so jubilant. Simply by seeing Krishna, he is running so swiftly, making a tumultuous sound. Just see." Unquote. This is an instance of neutral ecstatic love in the heart of a child without any specific subdivision. Due to the different types of attraction for Krishna, there are different varieties of devotees. Their symptoms are manifested transparently, just like jewels. It is said that a great devotee Brahman would sometimes address the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Master, and sometimes joke with the Lord using different kinds of familiar words. Sometimes he would protect the Lord with a filial affection. Sometimes he would cry out to the Lord, addressing the Lord as his beloved, and sometimes he would meditate on the Lord as the Supersoul. This means that the Brahman expressed his ecstatic loving symptoms in different ways at different times. But in each instance, because of ecstatic love, the Brahman merged himself in the ocean of happiness and became situated in pure love. Thus, he was a transparent medium like a jewel that shows reality in varying colors according to its own nature. When the great sage Narad was glorifying the pastimes of the Lord with his Veena, the four Kumaras, headed by Sanaka, although merged in the impersonal conception of Brahman, were trembling all over. Another devotee once exclaimed, quote, "Although I can achieve liberation simply by serving the devotees, my mind is still very much anxious to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose bodily complexion is just like a dark cloud." Unquote. When a devotee is so anxious to contact the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that can also be accepted as a symptom of neutral love. Pure and mixed flavors. Generally, a devotee of Lord Krishna may be placed into one of three groups. One group consists of those who are completely dependent on the merciful affection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another group consists of devotees who are dealing with Krishna on friendly terms. And the third group consists of those who are dealing with Krishna as his superiors, with parental affection. These three classes of devotees gradually develop different relationships of transcendental mellow with the Personality of Godhead. When the attraction for Krishna is based on only one particular humor, that humor is called kevala, or the pure state. One in this pure state of devotional service gradually develops the desire to follow in the footsteps of an eternal associate of Krishna. Example, to follow in the footsteps of Rasala, the personal attendant of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, or to follow Krishna's friends like Sridhama and Sudama, or to follow Nanda and Yashoda, devotees in parenthood. Ecstatic love for Krishna is never manifested directly with Krishna himself. The devotee has to follow in the footsteps of the eternal associates of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. When transcendental humors in relationship with Krishna become mixed, example, when the relationships with Krishna in friendship, servitorship, and parental love become mixed together, the result is called mixed humor or flavor. Such mixed transcendental flavors are manifested by such devotees as Uddhava, Bhima, and Mukhara, the personal attendant of Mother Yashoda. Although devotional humors are sometimes found in mixtures, a particular humor is always found to be a prominent and constant factor. That prominent humor is to be accepted as the devotee's main relationship with Krishna. For example, Uddhava is in relationship with Krishna as a friend, but in Uddhava's character, a trace of servitude to Krishna is also visible. Such friendship is called friendship in reverence. The friendship typified by Sridhama and Sudama, however, is the standard of friendship without any tinge of reverence. Subordinate ecstatic love. The devotees who always think of Krishna as a superior are in subordinate ecstatic love. To such a devotee, the concept of inferiority to the Lord is very prominent, and he rarely takes interest in any other kind of transcendental loving humor with the Lord. In the Mukunda Mala Stotra, compiled by King Kulashekara, one of the prayers says, quote, "My dear Lord, You are the deliverer of living entities from the hellish condition of materialistic life. But that does not matter to me. Whether I am elevated to the heavenly platform, or remain on this earthly planet, or am dispatched to some hellish planet, that does not matter at all to me. My only prayer is that at the time of my death, I may simply remember your two beautiful feet, which are just like lotus flowers fructifying during the autumn season." Unquote. Friendship. As far as friendship is concerned, those high-grade devotees who are almost like Krishna are considered to be great authorities in the modes of friendly relations with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On that friendly platform, there are different kinds of laughing and joking conversations. An example of such a friendly relationship with Krishna is described in Srimad Bhagavatam when Krishna was once thinking, quote, "Today, while I was engaged in tending the cows in the pasturing ground of Vrindavan, I went to collect some flowers in a beautiful garden. At that time, my friends, the cowherd boys, were unhappy even to tolerate a 2-minute separation from me. And when they found me, there was competition between us as to who would touch the other first with the flowers we had in hand." Unquote. One friend criticized Krishna thus, quote, "My dear Damodar, although you have been defeated by Sridhama and have become sufficiently minimized in strength, by a false expression of strength you have somehow covered your shameful condition of defeat." Unquote. Parenthood or superiority. When Mother Yashoda heard that Krishna's cows were being forcibly moved by the strong servants of Kamsa, and that the tender cowherd boys were trying to protect their cows, she began to think, quote, "How can I protect these poor boys from the invasion of Kamsa's servants?" Unquote. This is an instance of a superior attitude in a devotee. As soon as Mother Yashoda found her son Krishna returning from the pasturing ground, she immediately began to pat him, touching her fingers to the cheeks of the Lord. Conjugal love. Above even the humor of love between Krishna and his parents is the relationship of conjugal love. The Lord and the young gopis exhibit this in different ways: glancing, moving the eyebrows, speaking very sweet words, and exchanging smiles. There is a statement in Govinda Vilas to this effect, quote, "Srimati Radharani was looking for Krishna very anxiously and almost disappointedly." Unquote. When there is such an indirect expression of conjugal love, there is smiling, astonishment, enthusiasm, lamentation, anger, dread, and sometimes ghastliness. These 7 exchanges of conjugal love form another state of ecstatic love. In a direct relationship of conjugal love, there is laughter, astonishment, chivalry, lamentation, anger, and dread, but there is no ghastliness. These expressions are considered to be great reservoirs of pleasure. When these 7 kinds of ecstatic loving exchanges are manifested, they attain the status of steadiness by which the taste of conjugal love expands. And now chapter 33, Indirect Expressions of Ecstatic Love.
Manam సద్ధర్మ సంస్థాపకు.
Laughter. After he had stolen some yogurt from the pots of two gopis, Krishna told one of his gopi friends, quote, "My dear beautiful friend, I can take oath that I have not stolen even a drop of yogurt from your pot. But still your friend Radharani is very shamelessly smelling the flavor of my mouth. Kindly forbid her from this devious policy of putting her face near mine." Unquote. When Krishna was speaking like this, the friends of Radharani could not check their laughter. This is an instance of laughter in ecstatic love. Astonishment. Once Brahma was watching all the cows and the cowherd boys dressed in yellow garments and decorated with valuable jewels. The boys were expanding their forearms and were being worshipped by many hundreds of other Brahmas. All the cowherd boys began to express their joyfulness for being with Krishna, the Supreme Brahman. At that time, Brahma showed his astonishment by exclaiming, quote, "What am I seeing here?" Unquote. This is an instance of astonishment and ecstatic love. Chivalry. On the bank of the Yamuna, once there was the crackling sound of dry leaves, giggling from the cowherd boys and thundering from the sky. Sri Dama was tightening his belt to fight with Krishna, the conqueror of the demon Aga. This is an instance of chivalry in ecstatic love. Lamentation. In the 10th canto, 7th chapter, verse 25 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a description of Krishna's being taken away by the whirlwind demon Trinavarta. As Krishna was being thus carried up into the sky, all the gopis began to cry aloud. They approached Mother Yashoda, stating that they could not find the son of Nanda. He had been taken away by a whirlwind. This is an instance of lamentation in ecstatic love. When Krishna was fighting with Kaliya, Mother Yashoda exclaimed, quote, "Krishna is now entrapped within the hoods of the Kaliya snake, and yet I am not tattered to pieces. So I must admit how wonderful is the preserving power of this material body." Unquote. This is another instance of lamentation in ecstatic love. Anger. When Jatila, the mother of Abhimanyu, saw Krishna wearing a necklace, she could understand that the jeweled ornament had been given to him by Radharani. She therefore became absorbed in anger and began to move her eyebrows, expressing her anger in ecstatic love. Ghastliness. There is a statement by Yamunacharya to this effect, quote, "Since I have begun to enjoy these transcendental exchanges of love, which are always newer and newer, whenever I remember the pleasure of my past sex life, my lips curl and I wish to spit on the idea." Unquote. This is an instance of ecstatic love in ghastliness. Dread. One old devotee said, quote, "My dear Lord, when we are away from you, we become so anxious to see you again, and there is great misery in our lives. But then when we do see you, there immediately comes the fear of separation. Under the circumstances, both when we see you and when we do not see you, we are subjected to different kinds of tribulation." Unquote. This is an instance of a contradictory mixture of ecstatic love for Krishna. Such ecstatic love is palatable, and expert critics have compared such ecstatic love to a mixture of curd, sugar candy, and a little black pepper. The combined taste is very palatable.
Nana
शास्त्र विचार नहीं कनिकुन।
And now chapter 34, The Nectar of Devotion.
लोकानां हितकारणं त्रिभुवने मनं शरण्याकरं नाना शास्त्र विचार
The particular type of ecstatic loving sentiment that develops within the heart of a particular devotee is considered to be vibhava. And the resultant manifestations, such as the moving of the eyebrows, fear, astonishment, and smiling, which have been explained here and before, are called anubhava. The different causes for developing anubhava and vibhava are called steady ecstasy or sanchari bhava. Whenever there is a recitation of poetry or a dramatic play on the different pastimes of Krishna, the audience develops different kinds of transcendental loving service for the Lord. They enjoy different types of vibhava, anubhava, and sanchari bhava. No one, while remaining on the material platform, should discuss these different descriptions of bhava and anubhava by quoting different statements of transcendental literatures. Such manifestations are displays of the transcendental pleasure potency of the Lord. One should simply try to understand that on the spiritual platform there are many varieties of reciprocal love. Such loving exchanges should never be considered to be material. In the Mahabharata Udyama Parva, it is warned that things which are inconceivable should not be subjected to arguments. Actually, the transactions of the spiritual world are inconceivable to us in our present state of life. Great liberated souls like Rupa Goswami and others have tried to give us some hints of transcendental activities in the spiritual world. But on the whole, these transactions will remain inconceivable to us at the present moment. Understanding the exchanges of transcendental loving service with Krishna is possible only when one is actually in touch with the pleasure potency of the Supreme Lord. In this connection, Sri Rupa Goswami gives an example of the clouds in the sky. The clouds in the sky arise from the ocean, and when the clouds become water again and fall to the ground, they glide back to the ocean. Thus, the pleasure potency of Krishna is compared to the ocean. The pure devotee is the pleasure-possessing cloud. And when he is filled with transcendental loving service, then he can bestow his mercy as a downpour of rain, and the pleasure potency returns to the ocean of Krishna. Direct and indirect attraction for Krishna. Transcendental pleasure derived from devotional service can be divided into two groups: direct devotional service and indirect devotional service. Direct devotional service is divided into five transcendental humors or flavors, and indirect devotional service is divided into seven transcendental humors. Direct devotional services are as follows: neutrality, servitude, fraternity, paternity, and conjugal love. Indirect devotional service is divided into laughter, compassion, anger, chivalry, dread, astonishment, and ghastliness. Devotional service can therefore be divided into 12 types, each of which has a different color. The colors are white, multicolored, orange, red, light green, gray, yellow, off-whitish, smoky, pink, black, and cloudy. The 12 different kinds of transcendental humors are controlled by different incarnations of God, such as Kapila, Madhava, Upendra, Nrisinga, Nandanandana, Balaram, Kurma, Kalki, Raghava, Bhargava, Varaha, and Matsya. Sustenance, manifestation, expansion, reflection, and lamentation are the five visible symptoms in exchanges of ecstatic love. The test of devotional service can therefore be made in terms of these five symptoms. In the devotional service of neutrality, there is sustenance. In chivalrous devotional service, there is expansion. In compassionate devotional service, there is reflection. In angry devotional service, there is lamentation, and so on. An apparently pitiable condition in devotional service may appear distressing to the inexperienced student, but the feelings of the devotee in this pitiable condition are considered to be ecstatic by expert devotees. For example, the subject matter of the Ramayana is sometimes considered pitiable and distressing to the heart, but actually that is not the fact. The Ramayana narrates how Lord Ram was sent to the forest by his father just when he was going to be enthroned. After Lord Ram's departure, Maharaj Dasharath, his father, died. In the forest, his wife, Sita Devi, was kidnapped by Ravan, and there was a great war. When Sita Devi was finally delivered from the clutches of Ravan, Ravan's whole family and kingdom, and Ravan himself, were vanquished. When Sita Devi came home, she was tried by fire, and after some days, she was again banished to the forest. All of these subjects in the Ramayana seem very pitiable, and they may appear very distressing to the reciter, but actually they are not. Otherwise, why would Hanuman, the great devotee of Lord Ramachandra, read daily about the activities of Lord Ramachandra, as described in the Ramayana itself? The fact is that in any of the above-mentioned 12 transcendental humors of devotional service, everything is transcendentally pleasing. Srila Rupa Goswami mourns in this connection for persons who are in the fire of false renunciation, the dry speculative habit, and who neglect devotional service. Persons who are attached to the ritualistic ceremonies recommended in the Vedas and to the impersonal Brahman cannot relish the transcendental pleasure of devotional service. Sri Rupa Goswami advises, therefore, that devotees who have already tasted the nectar of devotion be very careful to protect devotional service from such dry speculators, formal ritualistic elevationists, and impersonal salvationists. Devotees should protect their valuable jewel of spiritual love from the clutches of thieves and burglars. In other words, a pure devotee should not describe devotional service and its different analytical aspects to dry speculators and false renouncers. Those who are not devotees can never achieve the benefits of devotional service. For them, the subject of devotional service is always very difficult to understand. Only persons who have dedicated their lives unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can relish the real nectar of devotion. When one transcends the status of ecstatic love and thus becomes situated on the highest platform of pure goodness, one is understood to have cleansed the heart of all material contamination. In that pure stage of life, one can taste this nectar and this tasting capacity is technically called rasa, or transcendental mood. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta summary study of the second division of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in the matter of general devotional service. And now part 3, chapter 35, Neutral Love of God. Sri Rupa Goswami offers his respectful prayers to the Eternal Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always so beautiful and for whom the pure devotees are always engaged in loving transcendental service. This third division of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu describes the five primary kinds of devotional service, namely neutrality, servitude, fraternity, parenthood, and conjugal love. These five items will be very elaborately explained here, and thus they have been figuratively described as the five waves on the western side of this ocean of the nectar of devotion. When one is actually able to maintain the transcendental position, his stage is called neutrality in devotional service. Some great sages have attained this neutral position by practicing austerity, penance, and meditation to control the senses. Such sages are generally called mystic yogis, and in most cases, they are inclined to appreciate the spiritual pleasure of the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth. They are practically unaware of the transcendental pleasure derived from personal contact with the Supreme Godhead. Actually, the transcendental pleasure derived in association with the Supreme Person is far greater than the pleasure derived from impersonal Brahman realization, because of the direct meeting with the eternal form of the Lord. Impersonalists do not directly derive the transcendental pleasure of association with the Lord by hearing of his pastimes. As such, the impersonalists cannot derive any relishable transcendental pleasure from the topics of Bhagavad Gita, in which the Lord is personally talking with Arjuna. The basic principle of their impersonal attitude does not allow them the transcendental pleasure which is relished by a devotee whose basic principle of understanding is the Supreme Person. The impersonalistic commentary on Bhagavad Gita is therefore disastrous, because without understanding the transcendental pleasure of the Gita, the impersonalist wants to interpret it in his own way. If an impersonalist can, however, come in contact with a pure devotee, his transcendental position can be changed for greater elevation. Great sages are therefore recommended to worship the form of the Lord in order to achieve that highest transcendental pleasure. Without worshiping the Archa Vigraha, the form or deity of the Lord, one cannot understand such literature as Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. For those great sages situated in the position of transcendental neutrality, the beginning should be to take shelter of Lord Vishnu, the four-handed eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The mystic yogis are therefore advised to meditate on the form of Lord Vishnu, as recommended by Kapila Muni in the Sankhya Yoga system. Unfortunately, many mystic yogis try to meditate on something void, and as stated in the Gita, the result is that they simply undergo trouble and do not achieve any tangible result. When some great saintly persons who had undergone penances and austerities saw the four-handed transcendental form of Vishnu, they remarked, quote, "This four-handed form of the Lord, manifested in a bluish color, is the reservoir of all pleasure and the center of our living force. Actually, when we see this eternal form of Vishnu, we, along with many other Paramahansas, become immediately captivated by the beauty of the Lord." Unquote. This appreciation of Lord Vishnu by saintly persons is an instance of situation in Shantarasa, or the neutral stage of devotional service. In the beginning, those who are aspiring for salvation try to get out of the material entanglement by performing painful austerities and penances, and ultimately they come to the impersonal status of spiritual realization. At this Brahma-Bhuta stage of liberation from material entanglement, the symptoms, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, are that one becomes joyous beyond any hankering or lamentation and gains a universal vision. When the devotee is situated in the Shantaras, or neutral stage of devotional service, he appreciates the Vishnu form of the Lord. Actually, all Vedic culture is aiming at understanding Lord Vishnu. In the Rig Veda, one mantra says that any advanced saintly person is always aspiring to be fixed in meditation upon the lotus feet of Vishnu. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that the foolish do not know that Vishnu is the ultimate goal of life. According to the conclusion of all authoritative Vedic scriptures, when a person comes to the stage of appreciating Vishnu, he is at the beginning of devotional service. If one cultivates devotional service further and further under proper guidance, other features of devotional service will gradually become manifest. At this stage of Shantaras, one can see Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer of even the demons. The Lord is appreciated by such would-be devotees as the eternal transcendental form, the chief of all self-realized souls, the Supersoul, and the Supreme Brahman. He is also appreciated as being completely peaceful, completely controlled and pure, merciful to the devotees, and untouched by any material condition. This appreciation of Lord Vishnu in awe and veneration by the saintly is to be understood as the sign that they are situated in the Shantaras, or the neutral stage of devotional service. This stage of Shantaras can be attained by the impersonalists only when they are in association with pure devotees. Otherwise, it is not possible. After Brahman realization, when a liberated soul comes in contact with a pure devotee of Lord Krishna and submissively accepts the teachings of Lord Krishna without misinterpretation, he becomes situated in this neutral stage of devotional service. The best example of saintly persons situated in the Shantaras are Sanaka, Sanatan, Sananda, and Sanat Kumara, the Kumara brothers. These four saintly persons, known as Chatusana, are sons of Lord Brahma. After their birth, when they were ordered by their father to become householders and increase human society, they refused the order. They said that they had already decided not to become entangled with family life. They would rather live as saintly brahmacharis for their own perfection. So these great saints have been living for millions of years now, but still they appear to be just like boys of 4 or 5 years. Their complexions are very fair, there is an effulgence in their bodies, and they always travel naked. These four saintly persons almost always remain together. In one of the prayers of the Kumara brothers, this declaration is made. Quote, "O Lord Mukunda, or Krishna, the giver of liberation, Only so long as one does not happen to see your eternal form of bliss and knowledge, appearing just like a newly grown tamal tree with a bluish hue, only for so long can the impersonal feature of the absolute truth, known as Brahman, be very pleasing to a saintly person. Unquote. The qualifications of a saintly person are described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as follows. A saintly person is one who understands fully that simply by discharging devotional service, he can become confident of liberation. He is always situated in the regulative principles of devotional life, and at the same time aspires to be liberated from material entanglement. A saintly person thinks like this, quote, "When shall I be able to live alone in the caves of the mountains? When shall I be dressed simply with undergarments? When shall I be satisfied by eating simply a little fruit and vegetables? When will it be possible for me to think always of the lotus feet of Mukunda, who is the source of the Brahman effulgence? When in such a spiritual condition of life shall I fully understand my days and nights to be insignificant moments in eternal time?" Unquote. The devotees and self-realized persons who are engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord always maintain an ecstatic love for the Lord within their hearts. Thus they are benefited by the rays of the ecstatic moon, and they are called saintly persons. The impulse of a saintly person is to be engaged in the study of the Vedas, especially the Upanishadic portions, to live always in a place where there is no disturbance from the common people, to think always of the eternal form of Krishna, to be ready to consider and understand the absolute truth, to be always prominent in exhibiting knowledge, to see the Supreme Lord in his universal form, or Vishvarupa, to associate always with learned devotees, and to discuss the conclusion of the Vedas with similarly elevated persons. All of these qualifications of a saintly person serve to raise him to the status of Shanta Ras. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is stated that all those who attended the pious meeting held by Lord Brahma for the study of Vedic literature, like the Upanishads, became overwhelmed with ecstatic love for Krishna, the chief of the Yadu dynasty. Actually, the result of studying the Upanishads is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Negation of material existence is only one of the subjects of the Upanishads. The next subject concerns becoming situated in the impersonal realization. And then, after penetrating through the impersonal Brahman, when one comes to the platform of associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one reaches the ultimate goal in studying the Upanishads.